before... Welcome back.
You used to be Catholic the last 2 months from this one.
This time we're going to...
Very simple. You don't own anything. Your wife owns everything.
Well, connected. I wouldn't say it's this way. Now, before we go back to the question case that we started last week, we're going to start with another case that came to base. A very, very interesting case just in the story. Never mind the complicated halakhic aspects to it. And we're not going to cover the complicated halakhic aspects to it, because it covers a few sugyas, and we'll get to each sugya as we go along. So we're going to cover one aspect to this dinter. So it came in front of Beis Din. Two families. These families, that both their fathers had been nifter, and they were both gabai tzedakos. They were both gabai tzedakos. So what's the story? There was a Reuven, an old man, had no family, and he decided he's going to sell his property because it's far away, he's getting old, far away from where he governs. So he wanted to sell his property and use the money to buy another property nearer to the place where he governs. Now, he went, Reuven, to buy the new property with the money he got, but he didn't want to put the property in his name, because he's old, getting on, doesn't want to put it in his name. Because when somebody dies and has no relatives, what happens to it?
Legally?
Yes. According to the legal. The government take it. Okay. Yeah. Yes?
Oh, he hasn't got any relatives. Close to some kind of relatives.
He hasn't got any relatives that he knows of. Now, so he didn't want to put the property in him. So, he used his money and he said to Shimon and Levi, Shimon and Levi are gabai tzedakos, and he said to Shimon, look, I want to buy this property to live in, but I want to put the property in your name when I buy it. So, he bought the property and it was put into either Shimon Levi's name, he didn't say, I didn't care, and it was put into Shimon's name. It was put into Shimon's name, the Gabbai Tzedakah.
Now Shimon as individual or Shimon as a Gabbai Tzedakah?
It's his name. It wasn't say Gabbai Tzedakah in
Shimon,
the...
It's a guy called
Shimon's name.
Fine.
Now, Shimon... So we have Reuven, who's living there, who bought the property. It's in Shimon's name, and you've got Levi, the partner, so to speak, of Shimon in being a Gabbai Tzedakah. Shimon got ill. Shimon, therefore, at this stage, wrote a will. What did he write in his will? That the property should go to Levi, the other Gabbai Tzedakah. Okay. Then what happens?
Reuven has to die eventually.
Huh? Then what happens? What happened was that Reuven died. Reuven, the old man, died. At that stage, Shimon then wrote another letter. He's been cancelling his will. Now, halakhically, he can't cancel it, because the original will, he wrote a will which can't be cancelled. Why? Because it's a halakhic will which says, I am giving the property today and the use of the property 1 second before death, and it had no conditions written in it. So the will which Shimon had written to had said, I'm giving the property today to Levi, but he has only use of it 1 second before I die, and he didn't put conditions on it, so therefore halakhically it already has ownership to Levi. According to halakha, you follow that will.
But did he own the property at that time?
It's in his name. Yes. Then we said Reuven died, and now Reuven died, Shimon then wrote another statement saying, I'm cancelling my will, which luckily you can't cancel. Then Shimon died, and then Levi died. So let's recap. And now we're in Beis Din. Between the families of Shimon and the families of Levi. Now let's recap. The old man has money, he wants to buy a house. He has no family.
Did Reuven have a will?
Reuven had no will. The old man has a, because he's got no family. The old man, no family as he is concerned, has money, wants to buy property near his shul, he doesn't want it to be in his name, go to the government. So he went to the Gabbai, said, okay, Shimon Levi said, I want to put it in one of your names, who wants it? So Shimon said, I'll take it. So he writes it in Shimon's name, he buys the property in Shimon's name. Shimon then writes a will, a halakhic will, which you really can't retract once you write that, saying, because he was ill, Shimon was worried that he himself would die before everybody else, so he wrote will that should go to Levi, the other Gabbai Sadoka. Then Reuven Pitom died, the old man died. Now that the old man died, Shimon therefore cancelled his will, which halakhically you come to, and then both Shimon and Levi die, and now we're based in a mess. The family of Shimon with the family of Levi. All arguing, who does this property belong to? Does it belong to Shimon, which was originally put in his name? Or does it now belong to Levi, because Shimon wrote that will, which you can't retract, even
Reuven
though he tried to retract.
Reuven
wrote no halakhic will.
Yes, there's no will.
It may not belong to either Shimon or Levi.
So now we're embased in the families of Shimon and families of Levi. Everyone's clear of the case.
Everyone what?
Everyone's clear about the serious of the case?
Shimon's will is useless.
Why?
Because he didn't have the property then.
But that's the question.
So now what's going on in Basin?
If he didn't have the property then, he never had it.
What's going on in Basin?
Is
a million, 2 million shekel property. A 2 million shekel property.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Whoever's closest related to him.
But we said we decided
he's Jewish. He has to have Yorkshire. He has to have Yorkshire. He doesn't know where they are.
He's a ger.
Was he a ger?
He was a ger.
He was a ger?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Only a ger would
be. He said he wasn't a ger. He was a son of a ger.
He was the son of a ger.
So he's the son of a ger.
So he's not a ger. His mother was Jewish?
Mother is Jewish, yes.
Okay, so he has relatives.
He's got no siblings.
He has relatives.
He has the son of a ger. He may have relatives. As far as he says he hasn't got relatives, he may have relatives. So now, what's going on in Basin? This is the discussion in Basin. What do you think everyone's telling? The family of Levi are saying that the property belonged to Shimon. It was put in his name. Since it belonged to Shimon, Shimon then wrote a will that you can't retract, that gave it over to Levi. Since he wrote a will that said gave it to Levi, which you can't retract, it belongs to our father Levi. When he dies, it belongs to us. It doesn't matter now that Shimon said I changed my mind. It's too late. That's what the family of Levi are claiming.
How ill was Shimon when he wrote his will? Hold on a second.
It wasn't
that's the question. He wasn't Shimon.
He had terminal illness.
Thought.
Yes. Now, what's the family of Shimon claiming? What do you think the family of Shimon claiming?
It wasn't his.
No, Levi are saying it belongs to Shimon, and he wrote a will which he can't retract, and therefore belongs to our father and belongs to us. Now, what's Shimon's family claiming?
Only once Reuven died, it became Shimon's. At that point, whatever he decides he can do. So it doesn't matter that he made a will already that he was going to Levi, because at that point he didn't have the power to say he was going to.
When he wrote the will, it was not chalosim will, because it says from now he couldn't do it.
The problem with that.
Unless it was in his name.
The problem with that is
the family of Shimon are claiming that it didn't belong to them, it belongs to the old man. Therefore, the will on something you don't belong is irrelevant, and therefore, at the time the will's written, it was a useless will, and therefore when Reuven died, announced in Shimon's name, Shimon could keep it.
The problem with that, if it didn't belong to Shimon when he put it in his name, it never belongs to Shimon.
So that's another dintera which we're not going to discuss today. We're only going to discuss one aspect.
Yeah, what was the old man's cash? The old man's cash was...
Which old man? These are all old men here.
Reuven's old man Heshem was, I don't know it in my name, because if it's in my name, it'll just go to the Medina, because I've got no relatives.
We don't even know that,
because unfortunately he wasn't there in the basement to tell us what he wanted.
He doesn't want to go to government. He doesn't care if it goes to Shimon Levi.
So now, we're discussing one aspect of the dinner, which is, when you write a property in somebody else's name, does that mean automatically it belongs to that person?
Depends why.
Does it depend why, or does it not depend why? As soon as you write the property in somebody else's name, or even more so, you bought the property in somebody else's name, does that mean the property automatically belongs to the person who put the name in?
Can you? You can't be claiming something if you don't know exactly to me.
See, hear what the sense was. Reuben went to somebody, Yankel, to buy property. He gave money and he said to Yankel, write a contract in Shimon's name. Does that writing a contract in Shimon's name mean that Yankel has makner it to Shimon? Yankel, not Reuben. Reuben never got it. He never got it in his name. He gave money for Yankel to put it in Shimon's name. By putting it in Shimon's name, does that mean Yankel has mucked it to Shimon and Shimon owns it or not?
Why? Rabbi Yeshu last week, I think you mentioned that you've got nothing else to go by, that you have to go by the fact that that's written in his name, that that's what the intention should be in his name.
So you're saying you definitely go after the name?
No, he's saying it goes by intention.
Yeah?
He's saying it goes by intention. But why should it be marked? You have to give me a reason why that affects any kind of...
What do you mean? What do you mean why should it be?
Why does the fact that I put it in somebody else's name mean it belongs to him?
Because Yankel... What was Yankel's intention when he wrote that contract?
Oh, it goes by intention.
What was Yankel writing in the contract? Yankel was saying, okay, you told me to put in Shimon's name. I'm giving over my house to Shimon.
Unless his intention was something else.
What does Yankel care about?
He cares about the government.
No, what does Yankel?
Who's Yankel?
The owner of the house.
The seller.
Oh, the seller.
What does he care about?
His money.
Money.
That's it.
And his money, and then he gives over. Give it over to Charlie to...
He doesn't give it over.
To Shimon. He gave it. Yes, he does. It's his to give over.
When you move
he doesn't
you
give it.
It's his to give over.
He gives it to the guy who gave him the money. He says, do what you want.
Does he give it to the guy who gives the money?
Absolutely.
Or does he give it to the guy where the guy who gave the money tells me to put the contract in? That's the Shiloh. Okay. Now, anyone's learned Baba Kama? There's a famous Gemara, it's Lechera, talks about this. Let's look at Maramoka number one. Halokeya, Zavkuf base, on a base. Halokeya, Soda, B'Shem Chavera. Somebody who buys a field in somebody else's name. To put it in somebody else's name. In this case, it was the Reish Galusa. Reuben went to Shimon. To Yankel, Reuben went to Yankel and he said to Yankel, I want to buy your property and put it in the Reish Galusa's name.
With whose money?
My money. Reuben's money. Reuben buys the field to put it in the Reish Galusa's name. Says the Gemara, Ein kofen esamocha limka zima achrita. You can't force Yankel, who sold it, to write another contract.
Meaning what?
And put it in Reuben's name. Reuben can't, once Yankel has written the contract in the Reish Galusa's name, Reuben can't force Yankel to write a second contract and put it in his name. What does that mean? Does it mean that it's too late because it already belongs to the Reish Galusa? Or does it mean that, it doesn't belong to Reish Galusa, but I don't have to write another contract? What does it mean?
It doesn't belong to Yankel anymore. That's why.
Who does it?
It's not my business. It's not the seller's business anymore. Who says that it belongs to anybody?
Why doesn't he write another contract?
Why does he have to write another contract?
Because it's, and Reuben wants there some proof that it's his.
Go break your head. You told me what to do, I did it. You gave me the money,
what's the problem in writing another contract?
It says imperfect.
It
doesn't say you can't do it.
Okay.
Imperfect.
Oh, very good.
That means it belongs to Reish Galusa.
Does it all belong to Reish Galusa? Does it belong to Reuben? It says Reuben can't force it to write another contract. What does it mean at this stage? We don't know. Does it actually belong to Reish Galusa? And then it's got nothing to do with Yankel or Reuben, so they can't do anything. Or is Mishat, it belongs to Reuven, but it's just written in Reish Galusa's name, and you can't force Yankel just to write another contract.
If it belonged to the Reish Galusa, it would be awesome for him to write another contract, not Ein Kofen.
So then it doesn't belong to Reish Galusa.
Doesn't belong to Reish Galusa.
That's what both of you are Madai.
So there you go, you got your
answer.
Okay.
There you go. Let's look at Rashi. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi says like this. Lata Liktov. You can't force him to go back and write Shtar Mechira, another contract, sale contract, Acha, Lelekeach, to Rufin. Shahoyo Lo, why? Shahoyo Lahatnos, Elohodia, Kisei Shtar B'Shem Reish Galusa. Because he should have informed them beforehand that when he writes the name in Reish Galusa, Shem Yotze Isikim, that the only reason why he's writing it in the name of Reish Galusa was because he's worried that people are going to have kindness against this land. So he wants somebody important, so to speak, who's in the land registry under his name, so no one can go and say this land doesn't belong to me. So that's why his intention, why he put it in the Reish Galusa's name, was just in order to
protect
himself from other predators. But you should have told that beforehand to the Yankel. He should have told him, I'm just doing this for creditor reasons, and therefore I would like you to write a second document to do it also in my name. Now, so what does Rashi imply? Who does it really belong to? What's the implication of Rashi over here? Who does it really belong to?
The guy who paid for it.
Reuven.
Yeah.
The implication belongs to Reuven. But you can't force your uncle to write another contract, and as you tell him, the reason why beforehand was is because for creditor reasons.
Reuven's called the Lekeach.
Says the Taz. Look at number two. This is interesting. Hadar Rinam the Gemara. That it says in the Gemara. Halokeach Soto B'Shem Chafero. That if you imply a property in somebody else's name, ain't kofi mosa limko, you can't force the seller to, ain't kofi mosa limko, you can't force it to be sold again. Pirushe, what does it mean? Tzikila suga eila lokeach yochul nikof es chavero, shiachsa v'yimkolo. It means that you can't force the Reish Galusa to write a shtar. The Masha Akabonim Konos Avera, that it actually belongs to the Reish Galusa. How does the Taz learn the Gemara? The Gemara meant, Ein Kofim, and so Moshe Limko in Zimach Mita, meaning that you can't force the Reish Galusa to sell that property over to you. It already belongs to him.
How did you refer to the Reish Galusa at the moment?
Because...
Why do you say that?
Because...
We're changing the marker is over here?
No. Because, what does the Gemara mean? Ein Kofin, Esamocha, Linka, Zimrafi. So why? Because it's not his.
Because he's also rich.
Why is he a Mocha?
The Mocha, the original seller, you can't force to write another contract to Reuven because it doesn't even belong to Reuven, it belongs to the Reish Galusa.
It should be also prohibitive, not optional.
So what do you do with the Lashon Ein Kofin?
You can't force. What does it mean?
Good. I can't force you to
sell somebody else's property. Yes.
It's not an again. It's not a chiddush. What are the questions you lost when you're getting
paid? You're saying it's no chiddush.
No,
it's not negeya.
It's much more problematic than no chiddush. Ein kofin means
I'm
that he could if he wants
negeya.
It.
You can't.
Ein kofin means he could if he wants it.
Right.
But he can.
Right. You're agreeing with me.
So where are we halting at the moment?
There.
See what a break does? You come to agreement after such a long break. Where are we halting? We're halting now that Fida Taz, if you buy property in somebody else's name with your money, and you say just put it in his name, why? Because for tax reasons, credit reasons, I don't want credit to force me. Says the Goli the Taz, who does it belong to? You who bought it, or the person whose name it's in? Who according to the Tazik Lobster? The person whose name is in. The one that you registered the land registry. So therefore, if you raise it back to our case, when the old man says, I want to buy a property from the uncle, but I don't know it in my name because I've got no relatives, and I'll just go to the state. So I want you, the government, the doctor, to be in your name, Reuven. I want Shimon to be in the government, the doctor, Shimon's name. Then who does it belong to? According to the Taz, The Shoah belongs to Shimon. If it belongs to Shimon, therefore, when he wrote a non-retractable will that should go to Levi, now who does it belong to?
Levi.
And if then everyone dies, who gets it? The relatives of Levi. According to the Taz.
The Taz argues with Rashi?
Pardon?
The Taz argues with Rashi?
Argues with the Pashtas of Rashi, but you can stretch it into Rashi. If you read Rashi, you can stretch it. So is that the halacha? No, it's not the halacha. Because if you look at the Ksos says it like you're all saying. This is a pella. It's something I don't understand what the Taz is talking about. The Taz is saying it belongs to the guy who put the name in, even though it's not clearly, you didn't mean it, it just register it, belongs to him. That's for sure not. The Reish Kusama Ola Lokone doesn't belong to the guy who put the name in. No, also Shliach Klavik, he never asked to put his name. For sure, the one who gave the money, it belongs to him, even though for technical reasons it was registered in somebody else's name, it belongs to the one who gave the money, says the Ksos. And that's the halach. The Taz is a Das Yochid, and we don't pass it like Taz, even say Kimli. So therefore, if so, when the old man put his property in the land registry in the Gabbai Sudoka's name of Shimon, does it belong to Shimon according to the halacha? It doesn't belong to Shimon. It really still belongs to the old man. So when he dies, it doesn't belong to Levi, because even if Shimon now writes a will that property should now go to Levi, which is non-retractable, yeah, but it wasn't Shimon's to write. Because just because you put it in somebody else's name for reasons of taxes, creditors, or I want to avoid the state getting hold of my property, which is what the case was over here, it doesn't belong to the person who put the name in, it belongs to the person who bought the property, and it belongs to him. So therefore, when Shimon, who is officially registered in his name, has it in his name, and he writes a will, that will is irrelevant, because even though it's officially in Shimon's name, but everyone knows that property halachically doesn't belong to Shimon. Therefore, the family of Levi on this count cannot come with the fact that say, ah, it's ours, because Shimon wrote a non-retractable will that belongs to our father, Levi. They can't do that. It didn't even belong to Shimon. It belongs to the old man who bought the property in the first place. Now, it's a very long detour, and we're not going to discuss the other factors until we get to Hilchos Bekotin. And we'll discuss those. In Hilchos Bekotin. That's not the end of the story. You should know that this dintero went on for half a year. There was 10 sittings. There's lots of other factors, but this element I wanted to bring out in this dintero. So we've concluded that if you buy property and if you put it in somebody else's name, you put it in somebody else's name, doesn't mean it belongs in the cloud. If you put it in the name, it belongs to the person who bought the property. That's how lucky we came.
We had a case last week, 2 years ago, where the husband bought the property
of the wife. Now we're going to discuss that case. So let's move on to the second case. Like this. Husband and wife. Right? Husband owns a house as a business. He puts, after 10 years of marriage, he transfers half the ownership of his house to his wife. Now the house is half in his name and half is his wife's name. Another 10 years, 20 years of marriage, they're in divorce procedures. Okay? And they're discussing a dinner like this. Husband says, okay, you know what? We're partners in the house, but I have lots of debts on my business. And because I've got lots of debts on my business, which I used the whole lifetime we were married, I was using my business to support you. I've now lots of debts on my business. What I want to do like this, sell the house, use the proceeds to pay up all those debts, which is from that business, which has got to do with you as well. And what's left, we'll split 50-50.
do. You only own a half the house.
The woman said, what do you want? My time. What I've got to do with the business? The business is yours. Nothing to do with me. The property is half mine, half yours. You've got debts. Okay. Sell half the house. Take half the proceeds and use that to pay the debts. Half the proceeds of the other. Half the house belongs to me, nothing to do with the debts. That's the difference. Now, first, let's clarify Hoshit's facts. Like this. What is the halacha when you've got a partnership and there's debts? Can the debtors claim from the partnership?
It would be debts of only one partner.
If the debts are from the partnership, can they claim from the partnership's possessions? Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
When you got debt from one of the partners, there's a partnership, they're together in the property, and one of those partners has a separate business and there's debts over there. Can those debtors claim from the whole property of the partnership or not? No! Nothing to do. So, how do you look at this case? Do you look at that business as that's got nothing to do with the wife? They own property together, the partner's in the property, and the business is to do the husband's got debts, it's his personal debts. You can't use your personal debts to take away from the whole partnership, only from your portion in the partnership. Is that how you look at it? Or do you look at it? No. Since the house was used to support the woman, seems like she's a partner in the business as well, and therefore it's a debt to her as well, and therefore they can claim from her part of the house as well. How do you look at it?
She's not a partner in the business, but the extent to that...
She a partner in the house?
Yeah. Well, maybe.
Why is she partner in the house?
Because he gave it to her, theoretically.
Did he? So, we'll
discuss that secondly. Let's answer the first question.
To the extent that
is she partners in the business, which is debt written, because of the fact that she benefited from that business?
No, that's a field of his. That's not a partnership. He has to give that to her.
Excellent. It's got nothing that business, even though it's been used to support her, doesn't mean that she benefited. It also makes her part in the business, and therefore she isn't liable to pay the debts of this. No, you have to support me, says the wife. Whether you get it from the business, you get it from the business. Whether you get it from somebody else, you get something. Whether you have to sell yourself in order to get work, you have to get support. It's got nothing to do with me. That particular business got nothing to do with me just because I happen to benefit from it. Because that's the way you use the support. It doesn't mean in the business. Therefore, it's got nothing to do with me. It's a personal debt, and you can't claim from my side. Now, the fact that the husband gave a present of half the house to her.
Did he give a present
now,
of the house to her?
What's the halacha? Does it go back to him automatically when the marriage is broken up or not? What did we learn last week? When the husband gives a present of half the house to his wife, does it automatically go back to him or the estate when the marriage is broken up, either because of divorce or death? What is the halacha we learned out from last week? A machlokas. Rabbi Eliashiv says it doesn't go back. And what he did in the neighborhood, say first marriage goes back, second marriage doesn't go back generally, unless you have specific reasons to say differently. Why? Because when in the first marriage you give a present to your wife, you only gave it on the understanding she's going to be a partner for me and be part of my life as a marriage partner. But as soon as there's no partnership, then it automatically goes back. Even the husband. Yeah. Now, but can debtors claim from that house while she's under her name?
Depends on when the debt arose.
The debtors came back after the house was transferred. No, the halacha is, we learned, is debtors can't claim, even if it goes back, the debtors can't claim while still in the wife's name, and she has first preference. Her rights come first. But in any case, Rav Yashiv says it doesn't go back. and it's in her name, so therefore she's going to be Muslim if she goes to the Rabbi Yassir.
She was not in her name. It's two different things. She's the first.
She has first rights.
The first collective.
Yes.
That goes in her name, because even if it's his name.
No. No. Debts come first before suit.
Oh yeah.
So
yes.
Except for this case where the debts came, she is ready in her name at this moment of time. Okay. So, according to all what we've learned, the debtor shouldn't be able to collect. Now we're opening up the third issue which we started tonight. We learned at the beginning of tonight in the first in Torah, that if you put property in somebody's name for technical reasons, tax reasons, void the government getting hold of it, who does it really belong to? The person who put it in the name or not?
No,
it belongs to the person who owns it, not the person who bought it, not the person who put it in the name. That's what we learned. So therefore, is that true here also?
Well,
after 10 years of marriage, he transferred half the property into his wife's name, and he said, well, it wasn't really a transfer at all. It's just for technical reasons it's in her name.
So why is he willing to give her any part of it?
What reasons? Why would somebody put property in his wife's name?
He saved the creditors.
Why would he put some of it in his wife's name?
It's a debt. Debt is not.
Yes.
He didn't have debts at that time.
Protection of debts. Yes? Why would he only put half of his property?
Why half?
Why only half? Be clever here. Why would he only put half?
Because then his wife's creditors can get it if it's all in her name.
No. What happens if you've got no property in your name? Will anyone lend you money? What happens if you've got no property in your name? Will anyone lend you money? No. No one will lend you any money. So he needs to have some assets of money in order to be able to have the opportunity to borrow. But he doesn't want all the assets in his name because he wants to have certain protection from his creditors. So what's he really saying? The reason why I transferred half of this property to my wife's name is only for technical creditors' reasons.
So why is he?
So, who actually owns it? He does. If he actually owns it, can the creditors actually halachically claim from the husband then?
Yes.
Yes. So therefore, then the husband basically is correct.
No,
not going to how he explains it, but he's correct in a way like this. He's got debts on his business. All his property is now is binds and as a guarantee to those debts. And therefore, who owns the whole house? Even though it's half in his wife's name, he still owns the whole house. So what's the halacha? Sell that house, use the money to pay the creditors. Whatever's left belongs to the husband. If he wants to give half to his wife, he can give half to his wife if he wants.
Why, if he's claiming this whole thing was a charade, is he offering to give her half of what's left over? He obviously intended that it should be long-term.
No. Not that it should be long-term. He understood that he can't take anything more than that. Because he's understood, like the tongues, yeah. Understood what you put in the name, it's in their name. But it's not right. The reason why he did it.
So from a halakhic point of view, there's no point in transferring to the wife's name.
So let's now move on. So this lechora is a shaila which was discussed by the Rosh and the Rashbam. Let's look at number four. Isha. Yeah. Now before I ask, read inside. I want you to think for a second. Why? It's not necessarily comparable to the case, the first case. Why it's not necessarily comparable to the first case of the Gemara in Baba Kama of the Reish Gelusa, where you say putting the name of the Reish Gelusa doesn't mean anything, it belongs still to the person who bought the house. Why is it may not necessarily be true in our case, Miswara, that this is a different type of case?
Because the Reish Gelusa wasn't an involved party. Here it's between the wife and the husband. You have a machlokes and a konas.
And it wasn't the wife.
Yeah, and therefore, what?
So you have the Celsus Kasha doesn't exist anymore because you have the Da'at machlokes and a Da'at konas.
So what does that make a difference? What's the wife actually claiming?
That he was machlokes to me and I was konas.
Basically.
The Rosh Kulus doesn't say he was konas.
She's claiming it was.
As a gift.
Yeah, and the first case also, the Reish Gelusa says, "Oh, he wanted to give it to me as a gift." Why don't we say over there the Reish Gunusu can't say anything over there? He can't do anything.
Because he wasn't Kona, there was no one being Kona on his behalf.
Yeah. You're saying too complicated.
He doesn't even know he was involved.
He doesn't know he's involved at all.
That doesn't matter.
No.
Over here, the owner was giving it to his wife. In that case, the buyer, the guy that was getting it, had no shaykhs to them. Is that what you were saying?
Yes. Third time tonight.
Yes. The simple words to say is the Reish Gunusu had no idea what was flying. He never was even involved in the whole parsha, and somebody just happened to register something in his name. Yeah. So there we say for sure. Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. But here, the husband and wife were all involved with knowledge and involved in transferring, selling. She had to sign papers as well. Yeah. So therefore, the claim is that his difference because he actually gave a present. Why did he give a present? Because of the credit reason. But he actually gave it. Once you've given it, can you get it back? Okay. So that's the shyness to say why this may be different from the case of Ishmael. Now let's mavara, is that true or not? Let's look at the Rosh and the Rashba both asked the same shyness, and they gave different answers. Isha shoto enes aksas karkois sheniach pala sheim chatzim mishalom. A woman, a wife, claims that the property which was put by her husband, half of them in her name, belongs to her. Kibala kona chatzim mishalom oseho shenof below mebeis avir. Because the husband bought those property using her money, and therefore belongs to her. Vashtar kosev b'shem shteyem, and therefore the property half belongs to me. That's what the woman claims. Does it belong to her or not? That was the shiloh given to the Rosh and the Rashba. She's claiming it's half of my name. The money came from half of my money as well. So therefore, it belongs to me half.
And what's the time of the opposing party?
Let's look at the Rosh and the Rashba, how they answer this. Says the Rosh, Yirash HaKakas Chatzash, oh, correct! Half the property's hers! Ki Otom HaKona Kaka, Ain't Zach Shiyitav Es Eshto B'Shtar HaKdiya. It's not normal for somebody to buy property to write half of it in his wife's name. V'Zach HaKosh HaShem Eshto, he writes half of his name. Nikrit Matom, it's clear! Shachatzi Tamei HaKakem Shom must be a half the money was used was hers. Of course, what's the difference if you write it somebody else's name, your wife's name? About Zahim, it is a proof that it belongs to her. Half it belongs to her. Says the Rosh, it does belong to her. Says the Rashba, Shushuba, Enu, Kona Ruben Minochosev, Abba Bisha Kosev Ashtar B'Shem Ishtu. Even although he wrote the document in his wife's name, Lo Kod says it doesn't belong to her. Mishum Tameima Omer Levesun Yaalma Huza Ovid Laviach Mabakov. Says the Rashba, the reason why it doesn't belong to her. Why did the husband write the property half in her name? It's because he's doing it, and also just for technical reasons to cover himself from creditors.
But it's half his money.
She's claiming it's half his money. He's saying it wasn't. Husband's saying it wasn't half his money. It's his money. Yeah. So what do we have over here? What's going on? Machlokes between the Rosh and the Rosh. When the husband writes half the property in his wife's name, does it belong to the wife or not? Says the Rosh. Does. Says the Rashba, says no, he's only doing it for creditor reason that it still belongs to him.
It's just polymathias. If the Rashba lived in an area and a time where it was normal for, like today, it's very normal. The Rashba wouldn't apply today at all. It was very normal to buy a house in both your names. In fact, it's abnormal to buy a house in only one spouse's name. So you wouldn't go like this.
You're saying that today even the Rashba would agree?
Yeah, for sure.
Rashba saying he's totally wasting his time and he's not protecting himself against creditors. It's meaningless. Is that what he said?
He's saying that he's doing it to protect himself from creditors, and if creditors are not clever enough, or they are goyim or not, or secular, and they don't go to Beis Din, and they don't know anything, then he is taka protected from the creditors.
Well,
and halakhically, you know, if it still belongs to him. still belongs to him, it's all correct. It's accepted.
Jewish problem.
Yeah.
No,
he's just trying to put the wood over the
people. Now, comes along the Nesivos and said there's no machlokas between the Rashba and the Rosh. Without looking at it, why do you think there's no machlokas between the Rashba and the Rosh? Nesivos is Nadaik, the Rashba and the Rosh, very carefully to make sure there's no machlokas between the Rashba and the Rosh.
Different cases,
what correct.
Different
that's
cases?
What are the different cases?
The first case is use the wife's money.
Oh, it's different.
The first case is use the wife's money.
No. She's claiming use the wife's money. He's saying I didn't. You used my money. That's her claim.
Well, I mean, I don't see the shaila that was asked for the Rashba, but the Rashba's case sounds like the whole thing is in the wife's name and the Rashba's only after the wife's name.
No, he says Rashba is the whole name.
That's what it sounds. I mean, I don't see the Ashana, so I can't tell you for sure. But it says the whole thing is the same issue.
Says the Nesivos Mishpat. Lifiyan is Dati Nira. The Eikam Machlokas, no Machlokas. Harosh Mori, the Arisha Ashtar is Tachas Yati Isha. Why does it go to the woman? Because she's actually got the document in her hand. What? She's got the document in her hand. It definitely belongs to her. The Rashba Atacha Barishayna Shtar Takas Yadda Isha. The Rashba, when he said doesn't belong to her, it's because it's still under the hands of the husband. He hasn't yet given the Shtar over. So that means, work it out. Nowadays, when you put half the property in the woman's name, is that like a case which means it's in the woman's hands where everyone will agree that it belongs to the woman? Or is it like that case where it's still in the husband's hands and he hasn't yet given the document over and it still belongs to the husband? What case is it like? Once you put a register in the land register, it definitely is like it's ready in the hands of the woman. So according to the Nesivos, it belongs to the wife. The taka belongs to the wife. According to Albert, it belongs to the wife, according to the Nesivos.
No, I disagree.
What?
Because the Rosh still says the reason because ain't there sheikh tal the ish for the star.
It's not the
but
end.
Is it there sheikh tal
the
ish for the star?
One more, anyways.
Even if it's beyond it, it's only because of ain't there sheikh tal the ish for the star idea.
That's all.
That's the only reason it doesn't belong to her.
No, the Nesiva says, ain't there, what's the chapter, Ross? Ain't there to write a star and give it over to her? You're putting yourself in a very dangerous position.
You should do it before. If you put her name on it, but don't give it a paperwork.
So give it to, if you want to cover yourself, write
he
it.
He died.
To cover yourself.
He died, he didn't give it to her.
Write it and to cover it. No, the Nesiva says he gave it to her and she's coming to base him with the documents.
Well, he's dead. Who's
if
dead?
She's got the documents, you don't dead. Protect
Who's
yourself by
dead?
Putting
the
your hands on it.
How many were there? He's not talking about a dead husband.
Yeah, he niach ba'al
Hashem chesed v'shalom. No.
What are you reading?
Look at so, the shaila. The shaila is kakosh niach ba'al. That means he's gone.
Therefore, according to the Nesivos, it comes out, l'kula alma, nowadays it's in the woman's hand, it belongs to the woman. If it belongs to the woman, the creditors can't get hold of it. Now we're just going to finish off with a question. Is it the chlal comparable to our case? The discussion, the shayla of the seat of the Rosh and the Rashba, is it the chlal comparable to our case to say that we've come to a conclusion that definitely belongs to the wife or not?
No.
Look at the shayla which was asked to the Rashba and the Rosh. Look at the shayla inside.
No.
And that's why I put it in bold. So you can look at it easily and see why over here that we are not doma to this case of the shayla which asked the Rashba.
Because here is buying it from a third party. Here is the husband giving it to the wife.
You know, I don't want you to ask until you look at the words. So
we.
No. To the case of the, not the government stopper, is that the government stopper? In the case of the woman who's after 10 years of marriage, is transferred into her name, and now there's an argument whether the debtors of the husband can collect from her portion or not. And we're saying that it comes to the conclusion that they shouldn't, because according to the Nesivos, once it's in her name and she has control of it, that's it, it belongs to her. How can we look at the Shayla which was asked to the Rashba and the Rosh, and you'll see that the case is not comparable to our case, and therefore maybe the halakha should be different.
Because this is a purchase. That's a purchase. This was just
Sas Kakus.
There's no purchase there.
and the husband. There's no exchange of money or anything.
Oh no,
like
this
that.
Is
it's
the case.
Transaction.
It's her money.
Money.
He bought it with her money.
That's what she's claiming, but good. How does that make a difference?
If she's the owner.
What's she claiming? Is she claiming that she got a present? Or is she claiming that it was mine? I bought it with my money! And the proof is, it's half in my name! Is she using it as a proof, the registration? Or is she saying the registration itself is the fact? A Maisa Kinnin. Is she saying the fact he registered it gave it to me? Or is she saying that the registration is a proof that the money was mine that was used? What's she claiming in the Shaila? What's she saying? What's she saying? Is she saying the fact that it was registered by name means it was given to me? Or is she saying the fact that the money is a proof that it was bought with half money and therefore it belongs to me because of my money? What's she saying? She's saying the second case. She's using the registration not as a saying that that is the Kenyan, that it belongs to me. She's using the registration and saying, well, that is registered my name. It's a proof that it was half my money was used to build it. Therefore, I bought it and therefore it belongs to me. That's what she's saying. That we have a Makos Rashirah, Rashba and Rosh. And that, the Nisiva says, she's correct. If she has the document at hand, then it's a good proof. But what would be the halacha, the fi the Rashba and the Rosh, where she's not claiming that she ever gave money? She says like this, I definitely gave no money. And it definitely the husband bought it. He just transferred half in my name and therefore that transfer means it belongs to me. What would be the halacha in such a case?
Yeah, but you're not passing me on that.
Yes, what would the halacha be in such a case?
You kind of ruin me in chasa.
What would be the halakha? You can work it out from what they say what the halakha
would
be.
I would say that the Rosh is saying what I said last week, that it's not the derech for someone to transfer property to his wife in the middle of a marriage with security. It must be to Mavriach at his Balichot. Exactly what he says here.
The Rosh or the Rosh?
The Rosh. The time of the Kenyan. Would make enough to mean if he did it when he bought it, or if he did it,
no, he did it in the middle of marriage.
No, if he did it when he bought it, so for sure she totally has.
No, he did it in the middle of marriage here.
But this case is not that.
No, but in our case.
So if you mosaic from the Rashba said that people do it, the Bisumid Alma, Dobila, Bichma, Bachov, people, that's acceptable. The only reason why the Rosh argues is to say she's claiming that's her money that was used, and you don't usually, as a proof, you don't usually give the contract over if she's claiming. But it's acceptable policy to write something in somebody else's name, and even though you don't really want to give it to them. The fact it's in their name is no proof that you gave it to them at all, says the Rashba. The Rosh says, yes, no proof you gave it to them, but she's claiming half the money was mine, then it's proof that half the money is mine. But if she's saying, I never used any money, and just the fact it was registered means it's given to me, then everyone agrees to the Rashba. The fact that it's technically my name is not a proof at all. So therefore, we can't look at the registration as any idea of who it actually belongs to. So what do we do? Says the author, Shulchan like this. When you write the property in the name of the wife in the boyish courts or the registration, the dayanim have to look into every case separately. Because sometimes the husband writes property in his wife's name for reasons which are not to do with the fact he wants to give her a present. But the old woman, the chosim shem ba, they really still belong to the husbands. The chen shichen lachko b'zeh hafe. So basically, they have to check into every matter. Is there any reason why he should do this besides giving her a present? Now, as soon as there is a reason why he may do this, then basically say, yes, the property, you're agreeing the wife, the property, it was his. Yes, that means it was his at one stage for sure. We're mesupik, did he give it as a present or not? As soon as, a registration is not proof at all. So as soon as he's got a good peshat why he should put it in his wife's name, then that automatically destroys the concept that belongs to her and it still belongs to the husband in such a case.
Peshat?
This is the Orcha Shulchan. Orcha Shulchan.
According to Shaka?
Yeah, according to Shaka. So, therefore, the halacha each person has to look at it separately, but in this particular case, he had many proofs that the reason why he did it is for tax reasons and creditor reasons. And therefore, the fact that it was his wife's name doesn't mean anything halakhically. It still belongs to the husband, and therefore he's correct that the creditors can take from the whole property before anything gets dished out to both parties.
If he has no creditors, that would be a tenant.
Hmm?
If you have no creditors, that would not be a tenant.
Correct. If he doesn't have other, but if he has other excuses, technical reasons, maybe he has. But every time, basically, he has to look at it. It's not an open shut case. We have to look at the specific reasons why he may have done the transfer. The transfer doesn't mean anything halakhically in itself. Okay, Mr. Shem, we'll start a new topic next week.
Hanukkah?
What's not Hanukkah? The week after. Okay, 2 weeks.
Really, I just come back and now you're already blowing me off next week?
We're going to start. We're going to start Shidduchim.
Which one is. This is not.